What is happening, crew? Happy Monday to everybody out there. Time for a little MOA Monday here. Let me get a few things situated really quick, because for some reason the YouTube side here is being all stupid. Go figure, right? So not sure what's going on there, but we'll get it sorted out. Waiting for the chat to come up now, and we've got it, so we are good. We're live on the YouTubes. We are simulcast over on gunchannels.com, of course. So let me get the link for the YouTube side over there. Be sure to check out the gun channel side. Speaking of that gun channel side, Snowy's over there, Clipazine, Karma, all hanging out on the gun channel side. So hello, fellas. And yeah, let's get the camera on. Why is the camera not on? There we go. Now we're talking. Cool. So let's see who is on the on the YouTubes. I know Gunpowder was here early. Said she got the notification like an hour and a half early, which is weird. I guess now they're giving notifications early instead of late, or not at all. So that's a little bit weird. Karma says I got a humming thing going on. Okay. Anybody else got a buzz? Okay. Cool. Hang on just a minute. Let's see. What about that? Are we any better? We still got a buzz. It's not the good kind of buzz either. All right, let me jump over here on the YouTube side. Still there. I'm working on it. Bear with me. Kind of makes me wonder if the mic's not picking up the AC unit. And now Jared says, now it's a different kind of hum. It changed pitch. Okay. Yeah, Laskin said a lot of times it's a power cable plugged into the mic. Yeah. It can do that. I'm using the same power cable. Tell you what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to get my wife her on microphone and stuff, because when I unhook this, I've got to bring it out here and hook everything back up, and it gets unhooked and hooked back up, and what a freaking nightmare. So, Casino Boss says fix it with a hammer. Yeah, I don't know what to do here. I really don't. Hold on 1 second. This is going to be crazy. All right. Better? Worse? Yes, no?
Yes.
Gonna spend like 20 minutes here trying to figure out the stupid audio.
The scene says it's worse. Okay, well. I don't know what to do. I seriously, at this point, do not know what to do.
Snowy's saying it's possible my new headphones. Nah, I was using them the other night, and my wife used them, and it was both fine. And she used them for Gun Gals. So, I don't know what to do. I absolutely don't know what to do. Okay, give me a second. Let me try this. Hold tight. I'm going to eliminate. All right. Do I have audio? I have audio. Okay. What about now? Kenneth says, sounds okay. When you start talking Chinese, I like it. What about now? Better? Worse? Much better, says Clipazine. Much better. Perfect. Okay. Awesome. Yeah, I bypassed the mixer. So, but the problem that I run into, again, it's plugging stuff in and unplugging. It needs to stay plugged up all the time. Whew. So, yeah, that only took 5 minutes of our time to figure out the audio issues. God, what a pain in the neck. All right, let's see who we got out there on the YouTubes. I know Gunpowder was first, and then Sean came in. Looks like Tack Daddy stopped by. Maybe he's still out there, too. Patriot, Clipazine, Snowy's out there, and Mr. Chamberlain, Mad Sexy in the house. Karma's out there. Woohoo. Tardot chatting it up, too. All of y'all. Mr. Ozzy is with us. Casino Boss, Jared Clint, Ghost. No Mohawk Boys out there. John Brown Pro, Yoder, Andrew. And I replied to your email, Andrew, just so you know. I did get that. I did reply. Like the 1% was out there somewhere. Kenneth in the house, an Alaskan. And, yeah, what else we got? Any more? Yep, that said Mohawk Boy. There's the Scotchman. He made it in, I see. So, Trauma Jock, Georgia Trucker. Sweet. Georgia Trucker said he got his swag today. Cool. I was kind of worried about that. That last run of swag, I had an issue with the post office. By the way, just so everybody is clear, this is obviously MOA Monday. And so the topics are yours. The discussion is yours. The question are yours. I mean, I'll kind of vamp and rant and go on here, but stop me at any time with whatever we need to talk about, and we'll certainly do it. But yeah, you know, little podunk post offices really annoy me. They've got no way. You know, you go into, you know, when I'm talking podunk post office, I'm talking about, you know, in a community that's has 300 people or something, right? And I mean, they don't have a machine really that weighs the stuff. They put stamps on everything. They don't print their postage at all. So you go into a bigger town and it's just bam, bam, bam. They knock it out. Everything's perfect. It's not a big deal. With the little post office, you go in one time and you can mail the exact same stuff in the exact same way in the exact same envelope. And they're like, well, this is $1.20. And you're like, it was 72 cents last time. Why is it $1.20 now? You know, and they're like, oh, well, let me double check it. Oh, yeah, it's 72 cents. And if you do that across 30 or 40 packages, right, that's a significant amount of money. And so it gets frustrating at times dealing with them. So I've started to, instead of just running down and mailing stuff right then, if you are expecting something, that may be why it's a few days late, because I've started waiting until, like, I teach archery and I actually go into town, and then I can go through the big post office and everything goes out quicker that way. I have a lot less trouble. And I've had issues with people not getting their stuff. Too Hottie out there, for example, he got like an empty envelope one time, and it looked like somebody had sliced it open. So yeah, not cool. Karma out there says, create my own postal service, the Clover Express. Ghosts out there talking about Tim's Patreon, Military Arms Channel. Yeah, it was, I was on there for a little bit. I came in about 15 minutes late on that. It was just Q&A, you know. I mean, I can't gripe because that's what this is, right? So, you know, but yeah, it was okay, I guess. Let me scroll up here just a little bit. Mohawk Boy. Oh, it's just thanks for being on the show last night. brought it up from a C to a solid B show. Yeah, I mean, there really wasn't any surprises on that. I mean, the hamburger won the sandwich bracket. I mean, come on, you know. But I still can contend that pulled pork definitely was the Cinderella story. Coming in number two like that. And it was not a blowout in the final round either. So, Tina's out there says most post offices didn't like her. Makes them repack stuff, even though she knows how to pack. Yeah. Yeah, Scottsman said he's mailed out stuff and it's ended up with empty envelopes. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe they figure if they can kind of feel through the envelope and they think that it's like money or, you know, something that might be worth something. I mean, there's thieves with everything, right? So, Patriot said he got the Gun Channel's trading card today. Awesome. And I've still got a few of those. I'm going to hang on to most of them, but I probably will take a few to Ghost out there talking about Military Honors Patron. He says no Clover show, but it was good. Yeah, it was okay. Yeah, Carmen said his last package for me looked like it was almost torn open. Yeah, at the Postal Service, you'd think they could do a better job, but apparently not. Apparently not. Okay, Andrew said he got my reply. Sweet. So, yeah, a couple of things. Like I said, with those cards, I'm going to save those, probably the ones left. Might give one away, one more away, and then I'll probably save them. Hopefully we can get G to make some more. But the cool thing is having a limited amount, right? That's kind of fun, too. But trading those when we meet up at places is pretty neat. And I don't think there's going to be anybody at NRA that has those that I don't already have. So, and I'm just reading through the chat now. But there's a couple of things we'll announce. Oh, first is that obviously in the NRA show, right? Everybody knows about that. And speaking of the NRA show, I've had a couple of people go in and order, and I didn't realize how good of a deal it was until I had a couple of people order, and I thought, wow, that's a pretty good discount code. So I thought, wow, I'm not even making anything off of that the time I mail them and stuff like that. But there's a 25% off code there through the swag store on clovertech.com, and that code is NRA. So it's only good through this next weekend. So if you want to get in on some swag, be it the Firearms of the World sticker series or the poker chips or the dog tags or whatever, now's a good time with that 25% off. And remember, that's code NRA for that. So looks like we got Ralph jumping in over on the Gun Channel side. 50's asking over there, what do I do for beard maintenance? You know what? I use like a little wall. I've got like a couple of sets. I've got a big set of the wall trimmers and then a wall, W-A-H-L. And then I've got the smaller, like the little beard and mustache trimmer thing. But, you know, I go old school, kind of like Vandalistica, right? I mean, I'm very, very, it's very few and far between when I kind of trim up and that sort of stuff. I'll do that before I leave for NRA, but for the most part, I just let it go, man. Just let it go. Clipazine over on the Gun Channel side, he said he had a problem, had some problems shooting steel case 308 in his Mossberg Patriot. Had the bolt get jammed once. Haven't had any problems. I have had problems. You know, tight chamber, it's the steel probably swelling. I mean, it doesn't really dissipate heat and things. quite like the brass. I've actually had that issue in my FAL, believe it or not, shooting some steel case stuff. And took that back to Sledgehammer Arms, who built my FAL. And I don't even remember now what they did. They did something, something having to do with the gas or something, and then something else having to do, I guess, because it let off more of the gas. So, you know, that didn't build up as far as heat. And then I think they did something with the chamber. They polished the chamber or something like that. So maybe a good, you know, get you a chamber mop and maybe a good chamber polishing to see. But, you know, for the most part, that steel case stuff, I mean, shoot it in a semi-auto, shoot it, you know, I wouldn't be putting that into my bolt rifle. That's just me. It's almost sacrilegious, you know what I mean? Hey, we got Bo in the house, looks like now, and Mr. Zippy made it in. And, yeah, I was paying a little bit too much attention, looks like, there to the gun channel side. But that's okay. When there's a conversation going over there, that's one of the first chats that there's actually been that much conversation over on that side, which is pretty cool. Alaskan's talking about the Postal Service out there again. You really expect the government-run corporation to deliver our mail correctly? No, absolutely do not. Absolutely do not. I've been thinking for a long time they need to give the Postal Service up. I mean, they need to, you know, just turn it over to UPS or FedEx or somebody, you know. The problem with the Postal Service, and this is my opinion, but the problem with the Postal Service, in my opinion, is, you know, it's one of those government jobs. They have pensions, unions, the benefits, the, you know, they have 25 employees to do the jobs, plural, that probably 10 employees could do if it was anything was on the merit system. I don't know. It's just, I think that if it was private sector, like a lot of things in this country, I think if it was private sector, probably would be a whole lot better. But I don't know that we'll ever see that, unfortunately. Everybody talking about the free beard now, looks like. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. I don't know what it was. The NRA code, yeah, I remember that. But the starting to kind of gather up items for the, and I'm a ways away, but for the 1,500 sub giveaway, because I think what I'm going to do when I do that, I think we're going to do we're going to do like a lottery system drawing, and then people will be able to pick their prize. And according to the order that we draw. And I think it being a 1,500 sub giveaway, I'm going to come up with 15 different prizes for that. So, and I've got quite a bit of stuff already that we can give away. So I think that's going to be a pretty cool one. What's Scotsman saying out there? He said he had a customer shooting reloads yesterday, had a malfunction, told the RSO that it didn't eject. The RSO sent him out to the floor. He said he took it into the private range, tapped it back into battery, and bang. Okay. So it didn't go into battery, is what you're saying? That sounds like a possibly a swelled piece of brass. Possibly. Maybe the base swollen. A bulge. Maybe a bulge. That happens too. And Cosmo says, check your loads and don't trust what you're given unless you really know the person. Yeah. And, you know, hashtag not sponsored here. And hashtag don't even have a set of them, but Lyman makes some really cool case gauges. And you can get them, and matter of fact, I have them in the in the Amazon stores. Go to clovertac.com, click on the Amazon Influencer store, and you'll find them in there. But they're really cool. There's these little blocks, and they have one for pistol caliber, one for small rifle, one for large rifle, and then one for AR calibers. And, you know, you load, I mean, you just drop your rounds in there. And, I mean, if they're not sized right, they're not going to drop in. So, I mean, you can tell really easy if they have, you know, some kind of bulge or, you know, issue going on. Ah, Scotsman's talking about the, I guess he's talking about the projectiles. He said they were molded, weren't done right by any means. A lot of people are that way. A lot of people are that way. I've seen them, you know, I've seen people load them way, way too long. Mohawk Boy was talking about the other night. He's talking about, what, one of his 8mm or something? And about it, how it's chambered long. Got a long throat in the chamber, and a lot of people, that's the way they do it. I mean, they'll gauge that chamber and they'll load, and it's entirely too long, right? And then a lot of people also don't realize, hey Leroy, what is up, buddy? I seen you sneak in. And then a lot of people also will not, what am I thinking? They don't realize that with I guess we were talking pistol cartridges there, but they don't realize that most of your pistol cartridges, at least your rebated rim, your rimless rebated rim, I mean, pretty much headspace on the case mouth. So, and a lot of times they don't load properly. They're used to loading rifle, and they start loading pistol, and it's not the same. How come we always get back into reloading? Seems like we always get back into a reloading thing. I don't know. We're talking here about, on the Gun Channel side, about selling something to Amazon. I don't understand what we're selling to Amazon there. Scott's out there said he had all kind of jagged points all over the bullet. Maybe he was trying some new round he was making. Maybe he was like some grass burr round or something, that some kind of personal defense thing he was trying to do. Ah, okay. They're talking about selling over there on the Gun Channel side, talking about selling the post office to Amazon. That's an interesting concept. I would not be opposed to that. I would certainly be willing to have that conversation. I don't know about selling it to anybody, because it doesn't make money. I don't think anybody's going to buy it. I think the government would have to say, here, please take this and do it. So, Kenneth's talking about the Rugers on the wall. Yeah, I put those up because I'm trying to finish up the videos on this. I've got to get this 2245 back. I know that those guys that loaned it to me are like, where's our pistol? He's had it forever. So I've got to get that back. And notice I haven't done the hive grips. I've not done the cornerstone safety ledge on it yet. So anyway, I put the Rugers up back there, and can tilt this up just a hair. Let's see. We tilt the camera up. Not that you're going to be able to see them, but that's a Ruger Mark II. That's a Ruger Mark III. And that's a Ruger Mark IV. So, kind of put those up just as backdrop for when I do the video for this 2245, or finish up with the videos for this 2245. Which reminds me, I'm expecting parts this week. I had said something last week or something about going and buying, picking up the new Smith & Wesson 422. Yeah, it's not around here anywhere close. Anyway, I had to order a barrel nut for that thing. It's a thread protector / barrel nuts, what it is. But, and Yeah, it wasn't but $5, and I got such a deal on the pistol that it wasn't a big deal. All right, what we got? What do we got over here? Alaskan ballistic, like the Ruger on the walls, 2345 light may replace the Victory. I'd keep the Victory, but that's just my opinion. I mean, that 2245 light is okay, and the ones on the wall are okay, but I'm telling you, it's just better. There's better 22 pistols out of the box than the Rugers. I do not see it with a Ruger. I think it's the name. I mean, that Mark series has been around forever. Everybody and their dog has had one because that was one of the cheapest, easiest to obtain, most mass produced back in the day. They called a lot of traction with target shooters and stuff. I just don't see them. I don't know. I just don't see them praying. I think I've said it before that out of current production model 22 pistols, you know, I would rank them. They're in the top five, but, you know, they're maybe a three. I don't think they're better than the Victory, and I certainly don't think they're better than a Buck Mark. Now, the new Mark IVs and the way they take down are pretty cool. I don't know if y'all have seen that, but for anybody that hasn't seen that, you know, the old style, the way that it worked on the old style, and this is clear, by the way. I mean, clear, magazine, clear, obviously, clear, everything. Safety first, right? Because I'm going to be flagging myself here probably before it's over with. But the the older style have a lever here, not a lever, it's a lever, but they got a lever. And you got to pull the lever, and then you got to sacrifice the chicken and pray to, the sun gods or something. And, dance naked beneath a full moon or something. And it'll come apart, and it's just as difficult to get it back together. The new Mark IV, check this out. It's got a button right here. And it's just like, comes apart almost as easy as a Beretta 92, right? And then it goes back together that simple. So that is one thing I guess is pretty cool about it. So props to Ruger for finally fixing that stuff. Mel jumped in a minute. He said that Mac over there is still going. Said he'll be back later. Hey, there's Cycle Camp. What did Cycle Camp say? Say what you want. I podiumed with a Mark IV last year, with a Mark III previous year, and he likes the grip angles. Yeah, I know. I've seen a lot of my Buck Marks have seen a lot of podium time, too. And I'm not dogging on them that hard. There is Mr. Sandy in the house. Yoder says YouTube strike for assembling a gun on a video. It's manufacturing. It's not assembling. Now, come on. G says all the lame YouTube chat. there's a lot of YouTube chat, G. I apologize. I really do. It's going pretty crazy over on the Gun Channel side there for a little while. And then it kind of tamed down a little bit. Snowy says he still needs to pick up 2245. Won the TK grips. And also sent the safety. And you have nothing to put it on. Why did you not, Snowy? I guess maybe you don't own anything else. I was fixing to say, they told me they would do credit if somebody had a different firearm. So, but hey, there's nothing wrong with having a reason to buy a new pistol. Definitely not. Trauma Doc's talking about a Red Hawk in his future. I've got a Red Hawk in 44, and I gotta say, he never had a day's worth of trouble. I mean, it's a 44; it'll beat you to death, but shoots great. Scotsman out there says he'll need to buy another bench here soon. When he finishes setting up, he'll have three presses on one bench, so he'll need another bench. Yeah, I really need to rearrange and rebuild benches and some other stuff. I've got
one, two,
counting shotgun presses. I have one,
two, three, four, five, seven, eight, nine.
I've got 10. Ten presses, counting shotgun presses. So, at one time, I didn't have that many, and I had them lined up across one wall, made it real easy. And now I can't do that. I have to take some down and swap other ones around. And, man, it's just so much nicer when you can leave everything set up. Just go to them and load and be done. Snowy says he doesn't own any 22s. Yeah, no 22s at the moment. Ah, G-Web says nobody needs 10 presses to hunt a deer. It depends. If you hunt deer with 10 different calibers or gauges, then, you know, you got to realize I hunt deer, pigs, coyotes, bobcats, what else? Dove. See, that's five. That's five right there. So then you got duck. Then you got geese. That's seven. I've never done any prairie dogs. I hunt the heck out of steel and paper plates too, though. So Velo says it's fuzzy clover. Fuzzy clover. Yeah, probably. Probably. I guess it's talking about the video, maybe? When you got crappy internet. Yeah. The other says somebody needs to invent a quick disconnect for presses. Yeah, that would be that would be interesting. I mean, every brand kind of has their own little, more or less it's a mounting plate or a quick plate or whatever. But I don't know one that's completely universal. G's over there talking about it. If you hunt it, hunting means you eat it. Killing means you leave it there. Yeah, see, Snow Clipazine out there talking about squirrels. I completely forgot squirrels. So there you go. Yeah, G's talking about they make plates for interchanging presses. Depends on the press. I don't know what Dak's out there saying. He says Yankee, that's eight. I don't know what that. It's like, okay. Patriots asking Riley Defense 8K? You mean 8K? Did he mean 8K and he typed 8? What is an 8K? Am I missing something? Apparently that's a typo, I'm guessing. I am not an AK guy, so that's going to be a G-Webs or a Travis P11 probably or something. I've shot Riley Defense, but I wouldn't say definitively either way. I've got a Sentry that people want to talk crap about. It's an old one, and that people talk crap for years, but it's still running. Never had any problems out of it. So sometimes when people complain about firearms, I kind of wonder what they're doing. They must be doing something different than I am. Of course, that's kind of the point, right? We all have our purposes. We all use them for specific things. Maverick's in the house. What is up, buddy? Pardon me. Casino Boss says, for what it's worth, finally got to shoot his PC car, his Ruger PC carbine. Flawless for 350 rounds using a Glock magazine. Sweet. Yoder says, I could attach each of my presses to identical boards or steel plates, and then the bench is set up to receive the plates and lock them down sturdily. Yeah. I just don't know that that's, I don't know how you would, I don't know how you would make that any type of a quick detach type system. I mean, you're still going to have to run screws in or something. Most of the ones I've seen, you still got to bolt and screw things down. That's not really any type of a quick detach. Yeah, I mean, you could store them on a shelf or whatever and then just break them out as you needed them. But like I said, I kind of like Scotsman's idea there with just having enough room and having them all set up. That's what I like. And then, because, I mean, I may want to load a little bit on this one and then move over to the next one and kind of move back and forth a little bit. May not want to do, you know, spend hours on one press, right? Philo's asking, what's the effective range of an 11.5 inch AR? I'm assuming you mean 5.56. And that's a question I honestly don't know the answer to. I know that 11.5 inch is not super short on 5.56. I mean, that's pretty much at your recommended minimum. Cause like your XM177s and your stuff like that, or 11.5 inch, right? So, you know, I would say you're not getting a lot of loss. I would venture effective on what, right? But, you know, I don't know, 300 yards, 400 yards. Now, Yoder's got an idea. He says just mount all the presses on an 8-foot Lazy Susan. That would be cool. And you could just spin it around. What's the Clipazine saying over here on the Gun Channel side? PSA has AR-10 lowers on sale. About 60 or 70 bucks. Really? That's not bad. I'm not a fan of an AR-10. I would, it's just the weight. There's a couple of things. It's what turns me off on AR-10. Number one is, unlike an AR-15, there is a whole lot of stuff for AR-10 that's not standardized. So you got to be really careful. I don't like that. I don't like that. Fit and finish and the way things match up and made up and tolerances and, you know, just there's a lot of little idiosyncrasies with AR-10 that I don't like. And that's why. It's because they don't have a standard like it seems most of the AR-15 stuff is. Second is weight. I've never handled, played with a $5,000 AR-10. Don't get me wrong. But any AR-10 from the $1,500-$1,800 price range on down that I've ever handled, shot, messed around with, it's been heavy. It's just, I don't like it for what it is. I don't like it. Semi-auto platform, that heavy. There's a few other choices I'd rather go with, and Kenneth kind of hit the nail on the head. He said he'll just stick with his M1A. So I tend to agree. You're going to be dealing with weight and everything else. Yeah. Sean says the AR-10 and 6.5 Creed is tough to hate. It is. And I actually shot one shot show range day, which I've shot them before, 6.5 Creeds in the AR-10. But I guess, but the Creed is sweet in a bolt rifle as well, you know, and typically a lot more accurate as well. So. Thirty Clipazine says, any suggestions on a semi-auto 308 besides from the company that shall not be named? I'm not going to fault anybody for buying an M1A. Just not. I mean, come on. If you buy a 1911, I get it. If you buy an XD, okay. You know, for those things, maybe you might need a flogging or a lashing for that, right? But you know, come on, you can't get a, you know, unless you find a, what am I thinking? The Chinese, what's the Chinese M1A knockoff? Crap. How come I can't think of that? Somebody's going to tell me out there and I'm going to be like, yeah, that's it. Come on, it's right on the tip of my tongue and I can't think of it. That sucks. Polytech, right? Is it Norinco for the M1A? I thought it was a Polytech M1A. Either way, the Chinese knockoff one. You know, outside of getting something like that, I mean, where else are you going to get one, right? So, now GC out there is saying they'd rather have one of the new BAR than an AR-10. So, yeah, Ralph says he says an Orenco too. So there you go. Yeah, the BAR and the new BAR in 308. Scotsman says Norinco is the Chinese AK knockoff. Yeah, it is. I thought it was a Polytech. Sure. I'm going to go look this up. Yeah, it's a Polytech M14. Norinco. Did Norinco do them too? That's something that I don't know, apparently. Yeah, Norinco M14. Okay. Interesting. So, but I'm pretty sure it's Polytech is the one that my, Andrew says Norinco knocked off everything. I've got a Norinco shotgun. It's pretty sweet. I don't even remember the model. It's three, kind of like a Mossberg number. It's like a 9.989 or a 9.85 or something. And it looks about like a 590. Honestly, it's a little tactical shotgun. Really cool. Oh, Casino Boss says a cool dude at the range let him use his can on the PC carbine. So that was awesome. First time shooting suppressed. And that experience will cost him a grand now. It shouldn't cost you a grand. You're buying an awful expensive can if you're dumping a grand on a 9mm can. Clipazine's asking how my wife did with the AR and the 50. She hasn't shot any ARs. And she did okay with the 50. I mean, we were chip shotting. I mean, we were less than 300 yards. Just because of the trip you got to make and everything to get out past that is just not, what's up, Rupan? It's just a pain in the neck. So went over on some family land and can actually shoot You can get it by the highway and you can shoot like across my grandfather's pond into the, it's a huge hill back there. It's probably between 60 and 80 foot, minimum 60 foot, maybe 80 foot, like bank embankment. And, I just went over there and I took a little pine sapling and stuck a 5 gallon bucket on it. So, I mean, we were shooting at a freaking 5 gallon bucket at 300 yards. I mean, it's not. And she hit it all three times. It was shooting a little high. I actually missed the first shot, hit it the second two, but I missed the first. It was a little bit high. That was, couldn't have been more than an inch high, but I missed the bucket. Or couldn't have missed it by more than an inch. Let me rephrase that. It was shooting about a foot and a half high. But the, I don't even know how it sighted in. I know I haven't changed anything on that 50, but the last time it was shot, a buddy of mine borrowed it. There was some chick that has a show on the Outdoor Channel or something, and they were taking her hog hunting and, you know, some stuff like that, supposedly, right? And she had never shot a 50, and so he borrowed it. And the rings on it, it had, I needed a taller set of rings on it really, really badly. And, you know, the deal was he could borrow it, but it come, and he's an FFL leader, by the way, and all that good stuff. But the deal was it comes back to me with a taller set of rings on it and a good set of rings at that. So, yeah. So I'm not real sure. I mean, what yardage that they had dialed it in for or anything else. We're out there talking about the Quigley down under. Heck yeah. Tardot out there sees he has a, he's got a Mac 90. I can remember my dad. I think he sold one. I believe he still got the other. I can remember him buying two Mac 90s from a guy. And I think, I want to say for like $350 for both of them or something is what he gave. It was some, and that was years ago, but it was some insane price like that. Philo's asking, has anybody tried the Revolution AR-15 and 308 from POF? I haven't, but I can definitely speak to the quality of POF. I've got a buddy that had a POF for some time. Now you pay for it. They're proud of their stuff, but it's uber high quality for sure. God, are we really 10 minutes away from the top of the hour? Good Lord. You folks keep me talking forever here. What did she say? Clipazine out there says he got his wife to shoot the Daisy Powerline 800 for the first time. Awesome. Very awesome. So she wants to shoot the Carbon Knight. Needs to get a better backstop, though, first for her first time shooting a compound bow in the city. Yeah, you definitely need... Yeah, you need a fairly tough target to stop that. Need some fairly dense foam. You know, I'll tell you what makes a really good target if you can find a place that does it. Can make your own archery targets. And that is to get you a burlap sack, or even get you like some burlap, like you put on a duck blind or something, and you could sew it up even or something. And then find you a place that does shipping or that receives like big, like containers of, or like pallets of stuff, like grocery stores or something like that. And find like a stalker or somebody there, right? And the pallet wrap, like the stretch wrap that they use, cause it's kind of sticky and all too. Get as much of that as you can. Collect it over days, weeks, whatever, right? Cram it down into that burlap just, I mean, as much as I'm talking about standing it, whatever, pack that burlap with that stuff just as tight as you can get it, right? Then sew it up or tape it up or whatever. And I'm telling you, it'll stop some arrows. And then you can spray paint a target onto the side of it, I guess, or whatever. Make your own archery bags. And yeah, you get that stretch wrap. It's almost like Saran wrap, right? Only way thicker. And you get that stuff in there, and it's just packed layer on top of layer on top of layer, and it's got that sticky attribute to it. So it puts some friction on those arrows when they go in. It does really well. So there you go. Make your own archery targets. Oh, Clipazine saying he just meant he needs a bigger backstop. Sissy's afraid of her hitting the release when she's way off target. Yeah, that's, you know, I don't know. It's trigger discipline. You'd be all right. Ghost out there says, just finished dinner. What'd I miss? You missed it all. You missed the whole chat. It's over with. I'll tell you. It was better than Max. You weren't here, though, so, you know, you can't compare it. Patriot says, a chest freezer also works for a good arrow stop. Somebody told me they shot their grandmothers when they were kids. You know, the problem with something like that is you got to be really careful. You don't want to stress those arrows no more than they need. So, I mean, if you're shooting it, any kind of a metal or a hard plastic, got to be really, really careful. You'll jack up your arrows quick, but it'll definitely stop them. I would agree with that. I have some people that even shoot at tires and stuff like that. Lipazine says something about the what? Ghost Tactical. Sorry I missed your Patreon only chat. I was in here. I think maybe Clipazine didn't notice. It was Military Arms Channel's Patreon chat. I don't think Ghost had a Patreon chat, did he? Okay. Ghost says his Patreon chat's next Monday. Okay. Next Monday? Okay, and then mine's the following Monday, or one of them is, so. Ronald Jock said he would like to have a K-31. Yeah, you and me both. He found one for $300. That sucks. That sucks. You didn't pick that one up. Now, Philo's going to get somebody in trouble because he says that the neighbor's fence makes a great backstop, he said. And Sean says, time flies when you're talking guns. Yeah, we talked about the stupid post office for the first 15 minutes. So, but that's okay. And Recoil Junkie, I'm talking about Mosin's out there now. Recoil Junkie said cheapest 9130s are $250. I know, right? Everyone I own, I'm pretty sure I gave less than $100 for them, you know? And I see them now and I'm like, ah. But I see some of the sporterized stuff that they do. They do some pretty cool work. There's a guy out of Texarkana, I believe. He's got a machine shop and he's been doing it for years, but he does custom work with them. And he cuts the barrels back to what? I think it's 20 inches or 20, either 20 or 22 inches because they say that's optimal. And then he shrouds the barrel, custom stocks, you know, beds them, bent bolts, you know, muzzle brakes, the whole nine. I mean, they're sweet looking rifles when he gets done. And I've really wanted to do one, but yeah, the price has just gotten up there so much that I just can't. I don't know. I can't foresee spending $250-$300 and then sending it to him and then spending another probably five, and that's at a discount, I'm sure. But another five, and then having, you know, $800 in a Mosin Nagant in a sporterized Mosin Nagant. So talking about all the patrons out there. It's a big deal. There was a lot of people over there on Tim's chat, though, that they were digging the platform. And it's a really cool platform over there on Patreon. I haven't used Crowdcast to go live or do anything. I just do it through the YouTubes, right? But, you know, I did notice, because I got the notification for Tim's earlier, that there's the same issue that we've all had for months now with trying to do the private live streams over there on Patreon. There's the same issues to where you have to go, you know, copy the link and go to a browser, and because the phone app don't work right. Because I noticed in the email from Tim, it was like, you're going to have to take this and put it in the browser and blah, blah, blah. So hopefully they get that lined out and get that fixed before too terribly long. Oh, Ripman says his buddy grabbed a jacked up backyard gunsmith one. Guess he's talking about a 9130 there. For $130. Hacksawed barrel. That's nice. You know, that's a nice, true. And you know, they recrowned it and all of that. You know, they did that, right? I seen a video somewhere where a guy recrowned. He took like a ball bearing and some sandpaper or something, and he like recrowned it with like a ball bearing and some sandpaper or something. And I don't remember what rifle it was, but he's like, yeah, you want to go really slow. And I'm like, dude, my God, you're going to recrown a rifle with a freaking piece of, that'll take forever. So apparently he had more time on his hands than he had since, because I'm just going to get one of my machinist buddies to do it for me. Clippers ain't talking about his arrow, stopping his arrows out there on the gun channel side, and he says the plastic shed stops his if it goes through the bags. I got a buddy that owns an archery shop, got a range out back, right? And it's this three-sided with a roof, you know, little shed, basically. And he's got literal target bags, right? The straw, impressed straw, whatever, target bags in there, or target bricks, maybe is what they call them. They're huge, these huge bales, right? And just use roofing tacks, put the targets on them or whatever. Anyway, well, occasionally you'll shoot or you'll miss or you'll be sighting in or something, right? And you'll miss and you'll go through the seams where the blocks, you know, fit together. You'll go through the seams. And I'm going to tell you what, when it goes through the tin on the backside, you ain't going to have no fletching left. And it makes it hard to find your arrow out there in the wood, too, because it ain't got no colored fletching on it no more. It'll strip every bit of it off when it goes through that tin. So you'll have a naked arrow out there in the woods. Well, good stuff. So sweet. The Saint out there, he says, did everyone get their shirt and bag from Federal yet? I'm not real sure what we're talking about. Dale's got a good one out there. Coming in under the wire, too, there, Tactical Pickle. And he says, for best accuracy, full length three size or neck only? Neck only, without a doubt. The full length size is what you want to do if you're potentially going to use that ammunition through multiple rifles. Multiple chambers, okay? Because obviously when you fire it, it's fire formed for that particular chamber, right? So all you got to really do is neck size, so you've got that tension, you know, for the projectile to hold it in and all of that stuff. Well, so if you just neck size, then you're going to get more longevity out of your brass, and that brass is actually form fired to that chamber. So you're getting no expansion or flex on the brass. So quite a few perks to neck sizing. The issue with neck sizing is when you load that ammunition, you're going to have to make sure you mark the box that this is for rifle XYZ, you know, or rifle ABC or whatever. And if you're custom loading for a specific rifle or handgun or whatever, you need to be doing that anyway, honestly. Yep, my wife's out there asking, 50 BMG and 50 cal light used by military, is there a cartridge difference? No. Yes, there's a difference. 50 caliber is the caliber or the diameter of the projectile. 50 BMG is the actual cartridge that you shot the other day, which is 50 Browning machine gun, which is the military. Yes, it's the same stuff. But there's other 50 cals. There's a 50 Smith & Wesson, for example. There's black powder, 50 caliber black powder, which is a whatever, half inch, basically, diameter ball, lead ball. So, where we got Clipazine. Oh, yeah, he's talking about he's lost a lot of fletching. So, yeah, let's bail. It is we're about 2 minutes after. So Clipazine out there says the biggest he's ever got to shoot was a 54 caliber. Yeah, that's 54. There's also a 64, a 68. And then you've got some smoothbore stuff. But I think it's the smoothbore stuff, I think, gets up into the 60s, if I'm not mistaken. But it's definitely, I mean, you get up into stuff like that, it's definitely a cannon. I mean, it's an explosion coming off. The 50 BMG is the best place to be with that 50 BMG is behind it. I mean, literally shooting it, you know, behind it. Anybody around it, it's just unpleasant. So. Yeah, we're going to bail. Before we jump off here, though, just a quick reminder that the NRA show, with the NRA show coming up, I don't know what the schedule for the week is going to look like with the live streams. It'll be kind of like Tulsa in a way. So we may not have the structured shows that everybody's used to this week, because I likely will not be able to, you know, get the panels together and do everything else that we need to do. But it is my goal to at least jump on and say hi, and kind of we'll talk about, you know, what I've seen and what I've done and what you want to see and what we need to do and all that good stuff. So just be flexible this week, kind of like it was the Tulsa week, and everything will be good. With that, I will likely see you sometime Wednesday. So take it easy and have fun. Bye.